glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to have God as my friend. I want to be his friend. He has been a dear friend to me. And so I'm here by the grace and help of God. And my desire is to give us what he has given me to bless you and encourage you along the way. And so I pray that you pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be what God would have me to be. And so I'm asking you to pray for me this morning. Lord gave me something a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was for last Sunday. And then the following day, he gave me something totally different, and he let me know that was for that day. And so then this week, I was able to go back and go back over what he gave me a couple weeks ago. And so, again, pray for me because I want to give it to you in a way that it be pleasing and honoring unto God, and that it be a blessing to you, that it help you along the way. The title of this discourse is Wisdom. And I want to preface this by saying that wisdom comes from God. All right, wisdom comes from God. The text that we'll use with this would be James 1 and 5. Somebody go to James 1 and 5. If you beat me there, go ahead and read it for me, please. And again, I desire your prayers, because anytime we get up here and we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about making heaven our home, then the enemy, he wants to come in and he wants to discourage. He wants to cause harm. He wants to steal the word of God from your heart. He doesn't want you to get the benefit of it. And so this morning, we're standing against him in that way. And so when I'm praying, I'm be praying in that way, and you be praying in that way too. What does James 1 and 5 say? What does it say? All right, it says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. It shall be given unto you. All right, and so it's saying this morning that if you have a lack of wisdom, and we're going to talk about what wisdom is, we're going to talk about all those things, but what it's telling you here in this text scripture is if you need wisdom, God has it for you. Yes. All right, it says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. What that means is, if I don't have it, I can ask God for it. He's not going to get tired of me coming and asking. He says he giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. To upbraid something means that they chastise you. I gave you wisdom last week. Why didn't you lose it last week? Here you come again with the same question, same problem. What happened in between now and then? But God isn't like that. What he does for us, pray for us, is he gives it to us because he knows that we need it, and he'll give us as much as we ask for by the grace and help of God. He says he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so God is a good God. He knows that we need wisdom in this life, and so he's willing to give it to us over and over and over again, but he's expecting us, when he gives it to us, to use it. Does us no good to ask God for wisdom and then we're not going to use the wisdom that he gives us. All right? And remember that I said wisdom comes from God. All right? We need wisdom. Wisdom is defined as the quality of having good judgment, the quality of having experience and knowledge. All right? And I'm going to pause here and I'm going to make a special point. Every bit of information that you get is not wisdom. True. All right? There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of people acting like they got something that is wise. But I want to tell you this morning. If it is not from God, it is not wisdom. There is a godly element to wisdom. All right? And so what people do is they get online and they go and they start talking about stuff, and your friends and whoever it is, and they'll tell you stuff, and if we're not careful, we'll be drawn in by these things, and it's not from God, therefore it's not wisdom, and we end up going off in some direction that God never intended us to be on. All right? And so don't give value to things that don't have value. All right? find the value of it. Is it from God? Is it backed by God? If not, it's just information. It might even be knowledge, but it is not wisdom unless there's a godly element to it. All right? I want to encourage you that way. All right? And so this morning, the quality of being wise is wisdom. All right? Knowledge and experience. We want to talk about experience for a brief moment. The reason why children don't raise their parents is why? Why don't children raise their parents? They ain't got wisdom and they don't have no experience. How are they going to tell you to stay out and stop playing in the street if they don't have knowledge and understanding? Right? But we know what happens if you play in the street. We know. We've seen the roadkill, we've seen the dog, whatever the case may be. So we know children don't play in the street, right? Because we've been here already. We understand. We have the experience. What I want to tell you this morning is, you and I, in a spiritual way, we have experiences as well. And wisdom is godly judgment, godly understanding applied to the experiences that we have had. Why is it that the enemy can beat us over the head and trick us and knock us down and kick us while we're down time and time and time again? When are we going to learn from the last 10 mistakes that we made? May God help us this morning. I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me this morning. All right? Wisdom is learning from your mistakes. Yeah. Gaining that experience. We're not getting experience just for experience sake. We want to have that experience and then use it in the next battle, the next trial, the next difficulty that we face. We want to use it by the grace and help of God. I learned something. I see the temptation. I see the trap. I see the swindle that he's trying to get me with, and I'm not falling for that. Matter of fact, the person that this trial is coming through, I'm not going to beat them up. I'm going to go behind them and see where the enemy is and beat him up, you understand?
Right.
See? Because if not, you and I will be at it more till kingdom come. But if I can understand that the enemy is behind this attack and I can attack him instead of that individual, then me and you can have peace and we can stop the enemy's plan.
Yeah.
May God help us this morning.
Yeah.
You be quiet if you want. You don't say amen, I'm going to say amen. How about that? Amen. Amen. God is wanting us to learn from our experiences,
yes,
to apply good knowledge and good understanding. Why? Because we don't have to suffer that way. He doesn't want us to suffer. God, one of his titles is heavenly what?
Father.
Father. So does a father want his child to suffer?
No.
So he says, son, pull your hand away from the nail. Put your hand away from the nail so you don't hammer your thumb. Why? Because he don't want the child to suffer. In the same way, God doesn't want us suffering. And so what he does is he gives us wisdom, but we got to do something with it by the grace and help of God. All right, foolishness. The opposite of wisdom is foolish. It's defined as lacking good sense or judgment, clearly unwise and irrational. All right? If I've done something before and it didn't work out, and I see clearly why it didn't work out, why am I the next time in that position once again? All right? God doesn't want that. He wants to teach us and he wants us to move forward by the grace and help of God. All right, so be sober, be vigilant. James 3 and 15, what is that? Excuse me. What does 1 Peter 5 and 8 say? What does it say? Be sober, right?
Yeah.
Be vigilant. Somebody go ahead and read it to us because we want to make
sober.
Sure. Be sober.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant. Okay, hold up. Pause there. Pause there. Please pause there. What does adversary mean? Somebody help me out this morning.
Enemy.
Right? Your adversary. Who is the adversary? Your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? And so wisdom is knowing that I am, you know that God loved every soul? And God made all of us? Right? And so he doesn't want any of us being done in by our enemy, the adversary, right? And so why would I not involve God in everything that I do if I want to have success in life? Why wouldn't I do that? This scripture is telling us in 1 Peter, what is it, 5 and 8, is telling us that we have an enemy. All of us have a common enemy.
Yes.
It says, your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right? But wisdom has to teach us that what lions do is they hunt in packs. Did y'all, y'all know we're going to get into that? Let's get into that a little bit. They hunt in packs, don't they? At least two and sometimes three. And so what happens is, when the temptation is coming, there's when we hear the roar from over here and we run in this direction, then there's not knowing there's a lion over here. See, so wisdom teaches us that we don't have to run anywhere. We run to Jesus. Where is Jesus at? And that's where we're going to be protected at.
Yeah.
See, but if we're not careful, when the lion roars, we're running away from that roar right into the waiting arms of another lion. You understand? One of his friends that he uses to destroy us with. All right. And so wisdom teaches us not to listen to the roar, not to run away from the roar, but to find where God is. The song, Be Still, she talked about that. Be still, thou soul of mine. Thou art not forsaken, though the powers of sin may rage, thou shalt be unshaken. And then that second verse says, why should I so fearful be at the tempter's roaring? See, it's talking about the adversary. Simply trust in God alone, Satan's wrath ignoring. See God's tenderness and prove with the sainted host above his unfailing, wondrous love ever for thee sharing. What you need to understand is that God is wanting us to learn from our experiences and get better, get closer to the Lord, be better children, men and women of God by the help of the Lord. All right, and so we need God to help us in every battle, every trial, and every test. Somebody get James 3 and 15. And tell me what that says, please, this morning.
This wisdom descended not from above.
All right.
But is earthly,
all right,
devilish.
All right. And so when I was telling you earlier about people come to you or we get online and we need the Lord to give us what's called discernment. Because what can happen is we'll get online and something sounds good. And so we get drawn into that thing. Not knowing that all this truth that they're giving us initially is going to change up somewhere in the middle, somewhere down the line. All right? And so we need to understand that a Christian is to try the spirit of the thing. Figure out where the origin of this thing, where it's coming from, and then we'll have a better idea of where it's going by the grace and help of God. And so what we are to do is to be sober, to be vigilant, to be watching, be careful, be prayerful, and be aware of what the enemy is trying to present to us, because he can give us some, I put in quotation, wisdom. And we take that and we use it in our lives, and all we do is get suffering and pain and abuse from the enemy from it. And God never intended for you and I to have to suffer that way. May God help us this morning. All right, so we know that the enemy is going to do certain things, right? We know he's going to tempt us. We know he's going to try to mess us around. And so then we need to be aware of that, and we need to be doing all that we can to get the information that we need to have, and then use that information to help us to be better men, women, and children of God. In Proverbs 4 and 5 through 7, it says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. All right? Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom, verse number 7, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. All right, and so wisdom is to be valued. It's to be coveted. It is something that we are to, it says, do you notice that it says, get wisdom? It says, get it. So we're not to wait around and hopefully by some amazing process it just comes to us. You go get the wisdom. Get up and go find it. It's right here in the Word of God. All right? There are people that are living like God wants them to live right here in 2024 in United States of America. Find those people. right? And live and get the knowledge and understanding that they have so that you can live in that way as well. That's what wisdom is about. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So if you got the wisdom and you got the understanding, wisdom is the information, understanding is the application, right?
Yeah.
If you, so you got the understanding, you got the wisdom, but if you forget it, what point is it? What point is it? It's not helping you. You understand? And so get up, go and get it. Put the onus upon yourself. Don't put it on somebody else. Right? Some people want to wait around. May God help us. And they want to put the matter of their soul and their relationship with God. They want someone else to be responsible for it. I'm telling you, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea. You get to know the Lord yourself.
Yeah.
You get wisdom your own self, right? And that's what's good about knowing the Lord. You don't have to go through me to get the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding. If I never preach another sermon, you still can get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from the Lord. Because God made it that way. He made it so that you can talk. That's why we get down on our knees and pray. When we do that, we're praying and we're asking God for whatever it is that we need. Whatever it is that we need. And if we need wisdom, we can ask him for that. He says he gives it to all men liberally, and he doesn't upbraid us for it. All right? May God help us this morning. So go get the wisdom. Get the understanding, and don't forget it once you got it. Then it says, forsake her not. Don't leave it behind. And she'll preserve thee. Love her, and she'll keep thee. Wisdom is, what's principle mean? Huh? The foremost. It's the first thing, isn't it? Wisdom is the principal thing, and in all thy getting, get understanding, all right? And so we need to, verse number 5, what it's saying is, learn your lessons. Don't forget your lessons, and stop repeating the same mistakes, all right? It says, and in verse number 6, don't forsake the wisdom. That means always keep the wisdom with you. Once you have got it, keep it, value it, cherish it, and hold it in high esteem. It says it'll preserve you, it'll keep you safe. All right, and so these are the things that we want to do when we get the wisdom from God. And then it says principle, which means this verse number 7, first priority. When we are faced with a situation, with temptation, the first thing we need to do is ask the Lord, what would be the thing that you would have me to do? What is it that you want me to do? I see what's being I'm being presented with. I'm seeing all these. So the enemy, what he likes to do is he likes to pile things up on you. All right, you got this problem over here, that problem over there, and that problem over there, all at once, and all of them seem like the sky is falling and you're not going to make it. I encourage you this morning to find a place of prayer, bow on your knees if you can, if you can't, pray anyway, and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do?
Yeah.
When we get overwhelmed, what's happening is we're putting it on ourselves. We're saying, I got all of these problems, and I got to fix them all, and so therefore, I don't know how I'm going to do that, and so I'm about to throw my hands up, and I'm not going to be able to make it. But what God is saying is I've got all the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that you ever will need. Ask me about it, and the Lord will come and say, in this situation, do this. In this situation, be still. In this situation, I got that one, and in this situation, we'll deal with it later. That's how God does it. May God help us this morning. He's able to do that for us. And so then we're not overwhelmed because what does the Bible say? Cast your cares upon who?
Him.
Cast your cares upon him. Why?
He
cares for us. And so don't let the situation, the circumstances overwhelm you. Do what the Bible says. Wisdom says, cast your cares upon him. Go ask him about it and say, Lord, I can't handle this. This is something that's bigger than me, and I'm asking you to have mercy upon me and help me, and he will do that by the grace and help of God. In John 10 and 11, it says that the enemy, somebody go there with us, John 10, 10 and 11. It says,
The thief don't come but to steal.
Go ahead.
To kill.
And to destroy.
I am coming that they may have life.
All right.
And that they might have it more abundantly.
All right. So who you want to go to when you have a situation? You want to go to, who's the thief? Who is the thief, by the way? Who's the thief?
Yeah.
The Bible says that the enemy of all souls, the devil, is a thief and a liar. He says he abode not in truth. He says he's the father of lies. So who do you want to go to? Let's talk about wisdom this morning. The thief cometh not but for to steal, for to kill, and to destroy. The verse that right directly after that says, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So what would wisdom tell you to do in this situation? Go find some solution that the enemy done come up with, or go to God and get some real help. Amen. The problem is people are living their lives, man, everybody got advice for everybody. Now, I don't know if it came from the right source or not, but if it didn't, then you're getting in a worse problem. You understand?
Right.
Because what the devil does is he gives people these ideas and these thoughts, and they sound, oh, so good. And so we go and we got this problem, and we go to these people, and they say, hey, man, I think you should do this. And you say, yeah, that sounds good. I think I'll do that. All over your head. Punishment and pain. Punishment and pain. But the people of God, they're available. God himself, he's available. Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so, blessed is the man that is wise enough to seek out godly counsel. Go to God's people and get some godly counsel. Get some counsel that's not going to put you in a further hole than you're already in. Get some counsel that's not going to throw some dirt on you when you're already in the hole. May God help us this morning. That's the way it is. You know, you got problems with your wife, what's the world going to tell you? Get rid of her, right? Because that makes sense. Doesn't address the needs that you have in your own self. Doesn't tell you that when you go and get your next wife, if you don't deal with yourself, you're going to have the same problem. Because you might even be the problem in the first place. May God help us. And so what we need is, we need somebody to tell us, you know what, why don't you go to God about that? Start praying and ask the Lord to have mercy upon your home. Ask the Lord to have mercy upon your marriage. If there's some changes that you need to make, you be the one that take the lead in that deal. Now, that's wisdom. People will work harder at their second marriage than the first marriage. How does that make sense? Work on the one you got. And make that work by the grace and help of God. I know I was going to be saying all this. Forgive me if you need to. But I'm telling you this morning, this is the way it works. You work on you, that person will work on them, and then together you have something. But if all you do is go around getting rid of this one and getting rid of that one, you will never find somebody for you. Because the problem is, it takes work to have a marriage. That's the truth of the matter. It takes work. And the work where that work takes place, most of the time, is on you. You're not going to fix that other person. God can deal and work with that other person, but you fix you and see what God will do for you. Amen. And I'm talking from experience this morning, praise God.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
Amen. So this is how we do it, by the help of the Lord. And I know there's people out there that are not right. I know there's people that do wrong and they don't want to do right. But there's no point in you getting wrong with them. Two wrongs don't what? And that's the truth. How can two wrongs make something right? You understand? So by the help of the Lord, we let the Lord help us in these situations. Somebody go with me, 2 Corinthians 2 and 10. 2 Corinthians 2 and 10. What does it say? You beat me there, go ahead and read. That's the one. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ. Now, this 11th verse is what I want you to get a hold of. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Right.
All right. What we're talking about, and I paired those together because I want y'all to get a hold of this morning. All right? Unforgiveness is one of the biggest weapons that the devil used against people, the people of God, people that want to do right. All right? And that's what these two scriptures are talking about. What's funny about unforgiveness is somebody can do you wrong, and they really did do you wrong. They shouldn't have done it, which is also true. And so the enemy comes and he says, that person did you wrong, they shouldn't have done it. So you got two truths to check off in the truth box, right? Truth, they shouldn't have done me wrong, and truth, they shouldn't have did it, and they did me wrong, all right? And so the third thing, though, you got to watch out for is the unforgiveness that he's trying to package and present to you as being okay, that's not okay.
Right.
All right? All right? If God was unforgiving, Jesus Christ would have never came. And none of us would be okay. All right? And we are Christians, which means that we are followers of Christ. And so many times, what we do in our hearts and our minds, we justify our position. We say, they should have did me wrong, and until they get it squared away with me, I got these receipts, or whatever it is you want to call it, and I'm keeping score. I know who's up and who's down, and I know who should be doing what. And so now, we're in the place of God. See that? What has happened is, we've put ourselves in the place of God, and we're going to straighten that person out, or it's not going to be okay between us and them. Guess what that does to you and to me? Now we begin to lose ground with God. The Bible says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. And the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. He said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And the devil knows that. And so what he does is he comes to the Christian, because the Christian, what really hurts the Christian is they really want to do good. They want to be kind. They want to be loving. They want to have good relationship with people. And when people treat them wrong, it hurts really bad. And so the enemy comes and he says, hey, that's all right. You ain't got to talk to them ever no more. You ain't got to talk to them because they are not nice. And that's true, you don't have to. But what? We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Do you know that when I take on a little unforgiveness, what ends up happening is a little something else come along with it? Do you know that I know people, and may God help us, may God bless and help them. They started with a little unforgiveness towards one person. They got beef with everybody and they mama nowadays. Like literally. Because the enemy is not going to let that thing. See, unforgiveness is a seed. You understand? It's either seeds of righteousness or they're seeds of unrighteousness. You understand? And so unforgiveness is a seed of unrighteousness. So when it gets planted in my heart, what it does is it germinates and grows, right? And it becomes now a plant of unrighteousness. And it bears seeds. And it, you see what I'm saying? It's a whole thing. The enemy knows that. He doesn't tell you that, but that's what it is. But in verse number 11, it says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. What he wants to do is he wants to hinder you along the way and cause you to lose your forward momentum as a child of God. He's looking for a way to do that. All right? And because, do you know that the Bible says, do good to them that do you wrong?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It says that, right? So it's easy to do good to people that treat us good. It's easy. But how are we any different than those that are not saved if all we do is treat good people good and the other people, they can go and somewhere and do something far away? Right? How are we any different? How do I show Christ? How do I truly show Christ? All right? How I truly show Christ is when I say, Lord, it did hurt. I didn't like it. They shouldn't have did it. And I'm suffering here. But wisdom says, do not take on this unforgiveness. And so I have a choice here. I've got this unforgiveness over here, excuse me, I got this unforgiveness over here, and I've got my hurt and my sorrow and my offense over here. I can take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to give me more grace, more love, more, what you know, the charity scriptures. Charity suffers long and is kind. It talks about bearing and forbearing and all those types of things. Lord, let's be honest with ourselves, because listen, we're not ignorant of Satan. If you think you're going to live from now until you die and nobody ain't going to do you wrong? Does that make sense? I don't care if you're 3 years old. Somebody already done you wrong. That's just the way it is. Somebody going to do you wrong. You understand? And so we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. This is one of the ways that he uses to hinder somebody. It don't even have to be something that you have any control over. Brother Woody talked about his uncle that was 10 years old who lost his father. So the uncle got mad at God and was mad at God for years. You understand what I'm saying? He had an unforgiving heart towards God, and so he had to suffer that and deal with that. Thank God, God delivered him towards the end, and we prayed for that, and God did that. But what we're saying is, these are the things that the devil uses to bind and trap and have you walking around with your head down, and you have no peace, and you have no joy, and it's just not good. It's not good at all. It's just not good. And God has something better for you and for me.
Yeah.
And so when someone does something wrong to us, we say, what would wisdom say do? Lord, let me take this to you. What does the song say? Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
In his arms he'll take and what?
Shield
thee. And what else does it say? Thou wilt find a solace there. Yeah. Solace is comfort. Solace is encouragement. It's uplifting. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you and I don't have to live in these ways no more.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't have to live like that. I don't have to. When I was young, my daddy did me wrong. He really did. And and this is how we can know it for sure. He apologized about it when he became a child of God. But he did do me wrong. But I was angry for years behind that. I was angry and didn't even know it. I walked by a building one time and saw my face. I was like, I don't know why I'm looking like this. And a lady that was passing the other way, she had made a comment, and that's what made me look. She said, why are you frowning? I didn't know. Because I had took on some unforgiveness. I had took on something that was hindering me from getting my peace and joy. How are you going to love your kids? And you angry at everybody. How you gonna love your wife? Your wife, she loves you to death, and she's trying to be kind and good to you, and all you doing is you know, like old mean dog. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But God has something better. What he did was he said, look, give me that unforgiveness. I'm going to trade that unforgiveness for my healing, for my love, for my understanding, for my wisdom. I'll do a trade with you, Henry. That's what he said.
Thank you, Lord.
This ain't about me. He'll do it for anybody.
Yes.
Ain't no secret what God can do. What he done for others, he'll do for you.
Amen.
With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. Ain't no secret what God can do. All right, so it's not about me. I'm just giving you a personal example of what God did for me. I don't walk around in hate. I don't walk around in anger anymore. That murderous spirit that I had, I don't have it anymore. You see what I'm saying? And so God did that for me. But do you know that it was after I got saved that he did that for me? Sister Taylor, I don't mean to put your husband on blast, but I have to put him on blast this morning. Because the Lord used me. I was saved, and God had forgiven me of my sins. But I didn't understand what the problem was. And so I began losing ground. So I came to an altar of prayer, and Brother Charles Ellis Taylor, he met me there, and the Lord sent him there. And he told me, he said, you have unforgiveness in your heart. And you're justifying that unforgiveness. And he said, if you'll ask God to take that away from you, he will do that, and then you can have that peace and that joy that is promised to the Christian.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
You see? So So God did that for me. And so I'm saying that if this is your condition this morning, that God has something better for you. All right? He's got something better for you. And it's wisdom to take that to the Lord and give it to Him. May God help us this morning. I didn't know I was going to be talking that much about that. But what happens is the Holy Spirit, He leads and guides and directs. And so He said, say this, Henry. So that's why I said that. I have more here. I'm going to try to get through it in a timely manner. Keep praying for me, okay? Because I want to get through it, but I want to do justice to what God gave me. Let's go to Hosea 4 and 6. Somebody read that for me. Somebody else be ready in Job at 36 and 5. So Hosea 4 and 6. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it for me, please. Wisdom comes from God. Remember that.
My people are destroyed
all right.
for lack of knowledge.
All right.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge,
all right.
I will also reject thee.
All right.
That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of
okay.
thy God.
Okay.
I will also forget thy children.
All right. So what happened here is he's dealing with, this is in the Old Testament, he's dealing with something. He's dealing with his people, and what happened was the knowledge and the understanding, the wisdom that he was trying to give those people, they rejected it, right? And so what I want you to understand is wisdom and knowledge is right there all the time.
Yeah.
Understand, it's right there all the time. But I can do you like this here, and I make noises so that I don't have to hear what is being presented to me. Some of the people why they don't come to church is because they know that if they come to church, then the Lord's going to deal with their hearts, they're going to humble themselves, and they're going to get saved, and they don't want to do that just yet. And so what they're doing essentially is what I was showing you. The knowledge and the information is right there. God is not going to withhold. If I'm a father, I have children, I'm not going to withhold. Matter of fact, they probably get tired of me because I give them too much. Place your hand here, son, and turn it this way. They probably can figure that part out. But the point is, I want them to be equipped with as much knowledge, with as much information in terms of understanding that they possibly can have. Right? Because I don't know how long I'm going to be here, and I want them to have a successful life. Right? So we might just be putting together something, but I'm talking to them about the Lord. They might get tired of it. That's okay. That's okay. It'll come back to them when they get older. I know that because when I was a child, my mother did that to me. And it came back. So I thank God for that. All right. And the scripture backs that up. And so what I'm trying to pull out of that is don't reject God's knowledge and understanding. Don't reject His wisdom. All right. We can reject it we can actively reject it by He's talking to us and we just ignore Him. But we also can reject it by doing things that I've got the opportunity to be in service. I've got the opportunity to be with the people of God, but I'm not going to do it because of this, that, or the other. I know there's times that you can't make service, and that's fine. But if you can be here and you can get some knowledge and some wisdom and some understanding by the help of the Lord, why wouldn't you be here? You understand? So that's what's happening here. Don't reject it. Let God bless you and help you in a very special way. All right? A lot of people have knowledge. I put that in quotation. Matter of fact, we are inundated with so many wise people. I don't know who's vetting these people, and I don't know where they're getting their wisdom from. But I want you to understand that wisdom comes from God. I'm reiterating that. I'm standing on that, all right? And so God was giving these people wisdom here in Hosea, and I'm saying you get your wisdom from God. What's Job 36 and 5 say? I'm nearing the end of this discourse. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. My goal is to make heaven my home. I don't want to go by myself. I don't see the need to go by myself. And so if you can go too, that would be great. And I would highly recommend that by the grace and help of God. Job 36 and 5. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. And so all that's doing is letting you know that even Job, now remember Job's story, he is getting hammered off by all the things that he had to go through. And God allowed him to go through those things. But remember, Job went through all those things, and I'm encouraging you this morning that you may be going through some difficult times, But that doesn't mean that God is not all wise. Doesn't mean that his power is diminished. All right? So to be like Job and trust the Lord in these situations and see if things don't work out for you. Proverbs 3 and 7, what does that say?
Be not wise in thy own eyes.
All right.
Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
All right, so it says don't be wise in your own eyes. You know how we are as human beings. Some of these things, it seems like we just come like this naturally. Something happened. We feel like we got it figured out, and we'll take care of it. Hold on, God. I know you made everything. I know you made me. The brain that I'm using to think right now, you made that too. The blood that's going through my veins and the breath that I'm taking, you did all of that, all of the wisdom that you had with the sun and the moon and the stars and providing for all of us in terms of food and water and all these different things. You did all of that. If you start looking into what the Lord has done, you'll know that he's all wise.
Amen.
Song says, God of wisdom, God of power, be thou with me every hour. The point is, God did all of this. But this problem that we're faced with, Lord help us. Hold on, God, I got this. I got this, God. Don't worry about this one. I know you're busy doing other stuff. I'm going to go ahead and do this my own self. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. We can get big-headed. That's what it's talking about. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think that you got it. Always involve God. What I'm trying to say is, always involve God in everything that you do. Start your day off with him. Make sure he stays with you throughout the day. And then if you're faced with something that you need some help with, be humble. Wisdom comes through humility. You're willing to ask God for something. To ask somebody for something means that there's a level of humility with that. That means that you're acknowledging that you might not know and you may need some help on this deal. And so it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. All right? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Above that, starting at verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what does it say after that?
Lean
not to your own understanding. What else?
All
your ways acknowledge him.
And
he'll direct your path. Now I want you to take a pause. Don't answer out loud, but take a pause in your mind right now and answer this question in your mind. Do you trust the Lord with all your heart? Do you not lean to your own understanding? Do you acknowledge him in all your ways? I'm talking about to the best of your ability, to what you know and understand, and do you allow him to always direct your path? Don't answer that question out loud. If you haven't, all that means is this is room for growth and improvement in my life. This is something that I can begin to improve upon. Because the scripture after that says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is how we keep from being wise in our own eyes. And this is how we fear the Lord and we depart from evil. All right? And so God keeps us from evil. He keeps us from harm by us staying in a place of humility before the Lord. I got one more scripture. I got the takeaway, and then I'm sitting down. Again, I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers for me. 1 Corinthians 3:18, and then going on down to verse number 20. Again, pray for me. My goal is to make heaven, and I'm not playing no games. If folks wasn't trying to do right here, I'd be somewhere else. But the Lord has got us here doing the will of the Lord by the help of the Lord, and I'm glad about that. And I want to be a part of that. I want to continue with that. Verse number 18 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, what does it say? Read on down through verse number 20, please.
Let no man deceive himself.
All right.
If any man among you seems to be wise,
okay,
in this world,
all right,
let him become a fool, that
right,
he may be wise.
All right.
For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Amen.
For he that writeth, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness, in their own craftiness.
All right.
And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of,
yes,
the wise,
yes,
that they are vain.
Amen. So he's trying to help us out here. He's saying, it says here, let no man deceive himself. There's an element of self-deception when we begin to believe that we got it. All right? We always need God's wisdom, God's understanding in every situation. I want to say that again because we agree to it, but in our hearts and in our minds there are things that, and I'm telling you, I'm guilty of this. God is helping me with this. Because many times I've had problems and issues in this area right here. I'm going to fix this, Lord, I got it. All right, but it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. And in this instance, it's also saying, let no man deceive himself. All right, don't trick your own self. Don't fool yourself. Because if you do, then you're being what? Foolish, right? If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And so humble yourself. Even if you think you know, ask God anyway, just in case, and see what happens. All right? God can always give us a better solution than what we can come up with by ourselves. All right? And so then it says here, in verse number 19, the wisdom, and I want y'all to get a hold of this, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. In other words, there's another scripture that says, my thoughts ain't your thoughts, neither are my ways or your ways. Somebody find that scripture. Use your phone, use what you got to do, but find that scripture. It talks about as high as the heavens, I'm not getting it right, and I want to read it because I want to get it right. The way that God thinks is so far above the way that we think. That's why we need to ask him.
Yes.
Right? The sister said the testimony. She had all these problems, and the Lord told her, don't do nothing. And the Lord blessed and worked and dealt in every... Now, would you think that that would be the answer? If you had four different problems, seemed like you need to get up and start doing stuff, right? But the Lord, what he does is he orders... Or this, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
All right? And so we allow the Lord to order our steps. Somebody found that scripture yet? Talk to me, Sister D. All right, Isaiah 55 and 8, read that for us, please.
My thoughts are not your thoughts.
My thoughts ain't your thoughts.
Neither are your ways my ways.
Neither are my ways your ways.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
For if the heavens are higher than the earth.
How high is that?
So are my ways higher than your ways.
All right.
And my thoughts than your thoughts.
The heavens is higher than the earth. He's talking about the difference between what we can come up with and what he can come up with. This is why we seek wisdom from God. All right, so let's talk about the takeaway. Again, I appreciate your time, your attention. We need wisdom. That's number one. Wisdom comes from God, all right, and he's not stingy with his wisdom, all right? All right? So if I don't have it, tell me what you should do. I don't know. Y'all think about that. All right? The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. Foolishness can have eternal consequences. All right? When the Lord talks about foolishness, it's a serious thing. Remember he told the rich man, he said, thou what? Thou fool, this night shall your soul be required of thee. Remember that story? He said, I'm going to take, he was rich, right? He had a bunch of stuff, and so he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater barns. I'm going to get even richer. I'm a baller, so I may as well go ahead and ball out. So I'm going to build greater barns. And I'm a sit back, relax, and do my thing. That's what the man said.
Yeah.
But the Bible says that the Lord says, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee.
Yeah.
All right? And so what we have to understand is foolishness is unsafe. We can get involved in some things that are foolish, that are bad ideas, and they have eternal consequence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? And so we need wisdom. That's why we need wisdom. All right, and so, Lord, help us to seek and value wisdom from God, all right? We can't have it, and we can't keep it if pride gets in the way. So, Lord, help us to be humble. All right, wisdom comes from fearing, revering, and honoring God. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. I appreciate your time and your attention. I'm going to be praying for you, that you make heaven your home. I'm asking for you to be praying for me. My goal and my aim is to make heaven. And I mean to do it by the grace and help of God. He'll help me do it if I'll be wise. Please pray for me.